Let me just say something for a few minutes about that ministry that Pastor Mike talked about, just to be a blessing to you and let you know that God uses all of us in a unique way. You know, He has His method for our lives and for our ministries, and everyone is unique. And the longer that you're saved, the more you'll realize that God uses men the way He wants to, according to His Word, but not according to what we think. And it's interesting, but just some of the events that we've been to outside of here. Now, these are people that they're not going to come to church.
Right.
They're not coming, okay? They're not going to darken the doors of a church. They're hardened people that, you know, they don't even know who the God of the Bible is. A lot of them don't have a clue. They grow up around this secular humanism and everything else, this postmodernism that has taken. So a lot of them don't even have, they don't know what the gospel is even. And we meet them out there right where they're at when they're coming out of their concerts or their homosexual rallies or whatever they are, and we bring them the truth and we hand out gospel tracts. And, you know, we had a Halloween parade. They had a Halloween parade up north of us, and we handed out 4,000 tracts at that event. So hand out tracts, amen. I don't hand them out enough, but we need to do more. But hand out gospel tracts, because there's people out there. We just handed them out to everybody we could, and we didn't have enough. Next year, we're going to print 6,000 for that event.
Amen.
When we go out on an event, we hand out, the Lord blesses us. We're able to hand out thousands of tracts. Imagine an opening stadium, a grand opening of a stadium. They have a Metallica concert going on there. 70,000 fans come storming out of that, and you're preaching the gospel to these people as they're coming out. You may be the first witness that they have, and then they may come along and watch a video that Pastor Mike does, and they may watch that, and they may get saved years later. That's you. When you're out on the street, it's not the same. It's a sowing seed ministry. You sow the seed everywhere. You're throwing it out everywhere. And people don't understand that. Most of the opposition that we get to that, the opposition that we get to that is from professing Christians. Some, I believe, are Christians. They just don't get it. Like Pastor Mike said at first, he didn't get it. You know, like, what are you doing out there? You know, what are you doing? And when you first look at it, that's what it looks like. But as you examine it a little bit further and you see, you have to understand that the sower went forth to sow and he sowed seed everywhere.
Right.
That's where you do that. We don't expect... God can do whatever He wants, but we don't expect that thousands are going to come storming in right there. That's the first time they've ever heard the truth. No one's ever brought it to their face and preached on sin and the Savior. So, but we've learned a lot over the years, and we've been kinder. God's dealt with us and taught us to be nicer and kinder as well, and try to be compassionate towards these folks that hate you. They absolutely hate your guts, and a lot of times they get violent with you. You know, if the police, but don't stop them. And we thank God for the police because, man, I'll tell you what, they've saved us a number of times. God's used them to save us from getting a beating, you know, or getting into a fight. Because I'm telling you what, you get surrounded by 100 homosexuals and you can be in some trouble there. But God is on the throne, amen? And He uses Romans 13. He uses His civil government, you know, to take care of that. So anyway, I just want to bring you that and encourage you that there's all sorts of different types of witnessing, and that's one of the ways. But you and I have a personal responsibility also. And then online, there's not enough pastors doing enough online. They've conceded that to the world and to the devil. We got to get out there and preach more online and do more. Get the gospel out there. Pastors do. They have a responsibility. Anyway, and that's how I met Pastor Mike. I started watching his videos like, who's this guy? I mean, who's this guy? Who's this guy talking about? What in the world? I started listening, and I thought, well, man, I kind of like this guy. He's kind of crazy. Who's this guy up there that says, isn't that neat? Who is that guy that does that all? Who is that guy? I got to meet that guy. And I did. I came down here for a funeral. I said, can I stay? You got a place I can stay? He said, sure, I'll let you stay here. He didn't even know me. He said, sure, I'll let you stay here. Let me stay here. I talked to him for a little while, and you know, I'll tell you what, there's not, and like he said, I don't have a lot of men that I trust in the ministry, other pastors. I honestly don't. I don't trust that I could talk to them and they'd pray for me and that, you know, that it would be between us and the Lord and that they would watch for us. You know, I don't have a lot of pastor friends like that. You know, This is a tough world that we live in today, and it's when you stand by the stuff, you're gonna have a lot of enemies along the way. And you know, him and I have the same enemies, which is a good thing in that sense because we understand why, and we will continue to. And I've had people, they tried to pit us against each other and do all kinds of stuff, and it didn't work. Amen. So, anyway, but not enough about that. But thank you. You've all been so kind. This week, we have just been blessed, and we have relaxed, and it's been great. I enjoyed Pastor Mike's preaching on Sunday, and it was a blessing to me and his fellowship, and then you all and your fellowship and your kindness to our family and everything. Really, we're blessed by it. Thank you. And if you ever get up to Minnesota in the frozen north, you're more than welcome to come freeze with us, and we'll keep you warm. And there's plenty of folks, and if you need a place to stay, they'll definitely put you up. And you'll be comfortable. I'm going to try to get Pastor Mike up there to preach a conference for me. He doesn't know it yet, which one I want him to do, but I've got some ideas. And I want him to do something on creation of the King James Bible.
Yeah, amen.
That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And I want him to do a conference on that because I know it'll be a blessing. And that's, we have a theme this year, Creation to Christ Ministries, and we're really trying to take the people that don't know the gospel and that they don't even know who the God of the Bible is, and inform them of who God is from his word, from Genesis, and start out in the book of Genesis and get him to the cross.
Yeah.
Amen? So, and there's so many pictures of Christ in the book of Genesis. So I'm looking forward to it. The Lord gave me that idea for you to teach that. So, Lord willing, amen.
I'm on it.
We'll see when the Lord will provide that and let that happen. Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. We will be all over the Bible, and I'm going to try to go as quickly as I can and thoroughly as I can. I got a lot of scriptures, and I know you got like a mini Missouri blizzard here, so I don't want to keep you too long, but I also want to give you what God wants you to have tonight. Amen? A lot of scriptures here. The Lord gave me this morning. He gave me another one yesterday, and I thought about it when Pastor Mike asked me, and it was a blessing and an honor to preach for you, and I thought about another sermon that I wrote yesterday, and the Lord just came, but this came this morning. And it's called Take Away the Dross from the Silver. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Proverbs 25, verse number 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. We need your blessing, and we need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, use your word as only you can, Lord. Wherever it goes in this earth, Lord, please speak to your people. Speak to those that need salvation, Lord. May these words be clear tonight. Use me as your vessel, Lord, I pray. Burn off the dross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that word dross is an interesting word. It's in the King James Bible 8 times. I like that, right? Because 8 times it's in that Bible for a reason, that number 8. By the way, I know those things. Pastor Mike's series was a blessing to me. It taught me, it opened up a lot of the scriptures and the website, the Bible, Pure Bible Word Search, opened up a lot to me in studying and understanding things. It taught me to look for things that I didn't see before. So it's a blessing, and I encourage you to use that, Pure Bible Word Search. It's great. Anyway, but this number 8 here, right, is regeneration, the new man, right? So what is God wanting to do with us here? God wants to take away the dross from the silver. That's God's work. That's what he does. You know what that word dross? It means the scum. It means the scum. Boy, that's very literal, isn't it? That's so in your face, isn't it? That we have a lot of scum in us. We do. When we get saved, when God saves us, we've got a lot of scum in us. That extraneous matter of metals thrown off in the process of melting, it's waste, it's matter, it's refuse. It's worthless matter. We got a lot of that in our sin nature, don't we, in who we are? We got a lot of that in this flesh. If there's any guy that ever tells you he doesn't have any of that, he's lying to you.
Amen.
Don't let anybody ever tell you that. If they've arrived. If they think they've arrived, they're lying to you. You get away from that person. They're dangerous to be around. They're going to get you into trouble. And their souls are in trouble. But this is God's work. That's what God does. He burns off the dross in us. I want to give you some examples of that tonight, of God's work in us. Amen? And that's, listen, that's, if I can help you with anything, I want to point you to Jesus. I want to point you to God and His Word, and for you to grow and get the power and the strength you need from God. And also, I want you to understand, when God does His work in your life, it's going to be different. It's not always going to feel good. You know, that we always want to feel good, don't we? But you know what? Sometimes you're not supposed to feel good. I'm here to tell you that. Sometimes you're supposed to be a little somber, a little serious. Sometimes God brings you through those things where you're not going to always feel good in that sense. That doesn't mean you're not good, though, in the fact of God doing a work in you.
Amen.
But it's not always painless. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 25. The Bible says this, "And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin." That's God. God's saying, as long as you live, I'm going to, as a saved child of God, I'm going to continue to burn off the scum and the dross. I'm going to separate that precious metal. That's a lifelong work, friend. None of us, we will be doing until we go home. God will be doing that work in us. It ain't
a
one-time thing. Salvation is instant. But sanctification is your whole life on this earth. Please don't let anybody tell you, well, it's instantly I'm perfect. No, you're not. You're reckoned perfect in the eyes of God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But He's still working on me to make me what He wants me to be. You ever heard that song? That's a little kid's song. We used to sing that. He's still working on me. Amen? And He is. Thank God He is. You know, God is a silversmith. He's a smelter. He extracts the precious metal from the ore, from base rock in the ground. He takes it out. Then God is a refiner. What does that mean? Well, that means it's applied to metals to separate the metallic substance from all other matter. This is what God does. God is a refiner. He refines us. He takes all that dross out of us as we go, as we live for Him, as we serve Him, through our failures, through our victories. Amen?
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1. God says this to us, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness."
Amen.
What's God saying to us there? He's saying that I'm going to refine you.
Right.
Man, that's encouraging. I'm so glad that God didn't save me and then say, "Well, you're on your own now until you get to heaven." Oh, we'd be a mess, wouldn't we? We're a mess anyway. We'd be in a bigger mess. Amen? You'd be in a bigger mess if God said, "Well, I'm done with my... I saved you, but I'm going to leave you. I'm just going to leave you the way you are." No, no, no. God's always working on us.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. You know, as pastors, we can preach the Word of God, but He's the refiner.
Yeah.
I can bring you the truth. Look, pastors, we can see 10,000 different things that we'd love to see happen, that the Lord to do. But we have to learn that we've got to wait on God to do that. We preach the truth, but we can't change you.
Amen.
We can't even change ourselves. It takes the work of God. All we can do is be obedient to God when He shows us. But we can't do that work. That's God's work. Amen. I've gotten more trouble trying to do God's work. Right? We try to do God's work. You'll never be... Discouragement will mount in your heart if you try to do God's work. You'll get discouraged. With your children. You try to do God's work. No, you'll get discouraged. You'll get discouraged. Don't do that. You let God do that. You keep preaching. You keep holding them accountable, but you depend on God. Ephesians chapter 2. God's a workman. God's working on us, right? Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse number 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, people like to stop there. We love that. We do love that, and we should love that. But don't forget verse 9, right? Or verse 10. "For we are His workmanship." Right? That's God's work. That's that refining work that God does. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, that "should" doesn't mean it's a good idea that you do that. What it means is that you're saved and you're going to walk in those works. When you do wrong, you're going to repent. You're going to have to get right because God's working on you. That should, it's just like for God so loved the world, right? Should not perish. That's not a maybe thing. No, when God saves you, he begins a work on you. And he'll perform that work until the day of Christ. Amen? I thank God for that. If I was left to myself, I'd be in a lot of trouble. I couldn't stop there, though, because verse number 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ." Remember that? Remember when you were without Christ? Oh, man. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Amen. It's the blood. I still believe it's a bloody gospel that saves.
Amen.
Still believe the blood. Amen?
Amen?
Never let go of that doctrine. It's important.
Amen.
"For he is our peace." Who is our... You say, sometimes I want peace and I don't have it. Well, Christ is our peace. Christ is our peace. Amen? "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and at that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross."
Amen.
By the cross. "Having slain the enmity." You know what that means? It means you were an enemy. And God, he slew that. By Jesus' blood, Jesus Christ slew that and made you righteous and holy. Amen?
Amen?
That's the work of God. That's the work Jesus did. He's a workman. He's telling you what his work is. This is what Jesus did for you. He worked.
Amen.
Because you can't work for it. So he had to. He was the only one. He did his work. And he's still doing it. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners." Why? Because of the work of God, the work of Christ. "But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Amen?
Amen.
This is the new life. That's the work that God does in us. He burns off the dross. How about this? Isaiah chapter 64, if you'd turn there. God is a potter. Boy, it sure seems like it. When you start looking at all this, God sure does a lot. He sure does, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize God's work and give him glory for the work that he does. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." We are the work of God's hand. You think about that for a minute. It takes us back to the first Adam, doesn't it? When God formed him, right? Think about that.
Yeah.
And Jesus came to do the same thing. He formed us the same way. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Just like the first Adam, when God loved him so much, and he breathed into, he formed man out of what? The dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What happened? What did God do? The second time when Christ came, he did the same thing spiritually. There you go. Amen. There you go. Amen. That's good, brother. Amen. "Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people." That's a good prayer. Amen. God is merciful to his workmanship. We are a mess sometimes because of our impurities. So God has to heat up the furnace. Don't you understand? That's how you get the. That's how you burn off the dross. You got to heat things up a bit. That's what God does in your life. Sometimes, you know what? As a Christian, you are, and I'm going to read some verses on this, but you're going to go through many peculiar trials. I mean, sometimes they're going to be so different and so strange that you're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, you know, I'm tell you what, I texted your pastor so many times the last 5 months. I said, "Brother, I think I might be crazy." and I'd tell him what was going on in my heart, what the Lord was doing, and just the chasing of the Lord and some other things that God was bringing me through. And I'd text me like, "No, that's not crazy. No, I know exactly what that is.
Been there.
Been there." been in that fire before, and understand it. See, when men are honest, men used to be honest on the pulpit, and they'd actually tell you, hey, I struggle. Man, I got a war and a fight and a struggle, and it's a battle, and Satan's after me.
Yeah.
Devil hates me, right? He's wearing on my mind and my heart. Strange, peculiar things. I don't understand them, but I know who God is. I know He's real. I know what He did in my soul, but I don't know why this is happening.
Yeah.
Well, God never changes, so you continue to look to Jesus. Yeah. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and don't look at the storm. Keep your eyes on Him. You don't understand it. Things in life are going to change. They're going to go like this. Oh my, they're going to go like this. And I know you want to be on the mountaintops, but it's the best lessons are in the valleys. They are. They really are. The best ones are in the valleys. They really are. It's hard to go through, though, when that heat comes. But God starts to heat your life. Whenever you see something come in your life and you feel the heat is on you and it's getting hot and you don't understand it and you're confused and you're scared and you've got fear, you need to remember that God is in charge still. He hasn't stopped being God because you have a trial. Right? Remember that. God isn't done using you. God hasn't neglected you. He hasn't left you because you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't understand this. Well, it's in His Word. You know what? Here's what the Lord showed me in the last 5 or 6 months about heating up and burning off the dross. Look, preacher, if you can find it in my Word, then you're not going crazy. I'm telling you, there's going to be some days where this King James Bible is the only thing that keeps you sane. I'm not kidding you, I promise you. I'm telling you, I've had these days. I'm telling you what, God took my sleep from me because I was going in a direction and God was chasing me and said, you know what, I don't want you to do this.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize what it was exactly. And I'd never felt that type of chasing before. And this is 5 or 6 months ago. And I'm going to tell you what, I felt like I was going nuts. I was like, what's wrong with me? I just began to be anxious and fearful. Didn't sleep. Mm-hmm. Went without sleep. And man, I started looking around that Bible and I thought, man, what am I going to do, man? I'm going crazy here. What's going on? What happened to me? You know, I've been saved for 16, 17 years, and the Lord's done a mighty work in my life, and all of a sudden now it just feels like it's all done or something. What's going on? Well, God's trying you. He's allowing you to be tried. He's teaching you. Well, Lord, I don't know if I like this lesson. That doesn't much matter if you like it or not. You're getting it anyway. Amen? And He's right for giving it to you. That's one thing you've got to remember. When God's burning off the dross and heating it up, He's always right. Don't you dare question whether He's right or not. You can ask God why. Reg Kelly preached a great sermon on that. Why? But you don't dare question whether He's right.
Amen.
You want to become unstable as water. Yeah. You start questioning whether God's right to put you through the trial you're in or allow you to go through it. Don't do that. That'll mess you up. That'll mess you up. But, you know, I went night after night sometimes without sleep, and God just said, well, here, look here. I started reading all night. I just read all night. I just sat there, didn't wake my wife up. I had my iPad, and I just started reading. I just read all night. I said, Lord, I can't sleep. It didn't hurt me a bit. It didn't hurt me a bit. I was like, man, I read 15 chapters. I just read 15 chapters. I was like, sometimes I'd go, Lord, can I go to sleep now? Okay, go to sleep. And He'd let me go to sleep. But there'd be nights where I'm like, Lord, no, no, you're not going to sleep. You keep reading. And I just kept reading and reading and reading and reading. Finally, God, Lord, can I go to sleep now, please? I learned not to fight it anymore. It's like, God, if you don't want me to sleep, I'll just keep reading this book and it ain't going to hurt me a bit. Man, I'd read through the whole book of Psalms. I read through the whole... I just kept reading and reading. I got through Psalms in a week. Less than a week like that, I'm done with it. I'm moving on. I'm at Job now, and I'm like, whoa, now I'm really seeing stuff. You want to be a little weirded out, just read Job in the middle of the night. Now that Job's talking about the King of Terrors coming. I'm like, yeah, I know He's here. I know. I can feel Him. He's there. Right? I know He's there. Amen. When you get in that fire, the devil's going to come and attack you. You remember that? He's going to do that. You know, it's very hard to accept when God is refining us. This work is not painless work. When God is taking away that dross from the silver, He's molding and forming that clay into a vessel of honor to Him. You have to look at every trial as if God is perfecting me. You have to. You have to look at everything like that, whether it's health, wealth, whether it's relationship problems, whatever it is. What is God teaching me? This is a lesson from my Father. Amen. And when you do that, when you look at it like that, you won't fear as much. The fear will start to go away. It won't be as strong. And the reason why is because you're trusting God, that God is going to get you through it. Because He's going to guide me through. He's not going to leave me. He's teaching me. His hand is upon me. Doesn't feel like that when you're in the fire, though. When He's conforming us to the image of Christ. We cannot see sometimes how our trials could make us more like Christ. Lord, I don't know how this is going to make me more like Jesus. This is horrible. But what do you think Christ went through? How else? You know, pastors can never really know what it means to love people until they're betrayed. I'm telling you, until you're betrayed by people that you loved, you cannot know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings as a pastor. You will not understand it. But when you are betrayed, you will understand it. And I'll say the same thing as a Christian. People are going to hurt you. But you're going to learn to love by that. You'll be wise, but you'll learn to love. You'll learn to love through that. Because people hurt you, and you can't stop loving. First thing you want to do is run to your cave.
Yeah.
Go hide.
Yeah.
Get away from everybody.
Yes, right.
Lock yourself in and don't be around nobody. Can't do that. So there's a time for that when you're alone with God and you're getting along with God, but you got to walk out of there and you got to go love people. Amen. You know, this heat is necessary to form things. That heat in life. Psalm 12. Look at Psalm 12. One of our favorite verses for King James Bible believers. Amen. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure words. As silver. Tried in a furnace of earth. Purified how many times? 7 times. I like this. Thou shalt keep them. Not hide them.
Amen.
Not hide them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. From this generation, forever. God's promise. Amen?
Amen?
God's promise. God's word. But what does it take? What did God use? He used the heat. The fire. You know the fires of affliction that this King James Bible, to get to you what this went through?
Yeah. Tell the truth.
You want to know? Study the history of it. Still goes through the fire, but it's purified 7 times. It is the standard. It is attacked. It is hated. You can use any other version but this, and nobody cares. You use this one, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. They're going to come after you. Why? Because it's real. Amen. It is the real Word of God. Infallible. So you believe it's infallible? You bet I do. I've had people ask me. I've asked people that wanted support for work that they did. I said, is it perfect? They said, well, it's a reliable translation. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, is it perfect? Well, it's a good translation. It's reliable. Is it perfect? If they won't, I got nothing to say to you. I won't support that. I can't support that. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're wrong, though. You can't tell me. And then you ask them, well, where do you find the perfect Bible? Where is it? Could you show me God's preserved and perfect word on this earth? Where is it? Yeah, we say we have it right here. They say they don't know. They won't answer you. They can't. Ask James White that question. Ask James White and watch what he does. He won't answer it.
You get a better answer out of bow ties.
Yeah, you bet. Not going to answer you. That's right. Not going to answer you. Not going to. Why? Because they can't. They don't have it. Because they don't know where to find the Word of God. And I have no confidence in them. I can't have confidence in them. If you told me there was one error in this book, I wouldn't believe you, number one. But number two, I would have a hard time trusting you. Because now I'm depending on your intellect over this book. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself at the mercy of men. That's why I talk to people, and I know I'm going on a rabbit trail here, so I'll shoot the rabbit and get back on the road. But let me say this to you, that when men try to mix baptism with salvation, I say the same thing. Are you trying to tell me that if I didn't get, and I'm a Baptist, okay, but if you're trying to tell me that if you were baptized, you hold the key to salvation to baptize a man? Well, you're a Roman Catholic.
Right.
You, God didn't leave salvation in the hands of man to control whether I get baptized. If I don't, you're going to hell. No, Jesus and his blood.
Amen.
You know, you don't get washed in the tub, you get washed in the blood, right?
Amen.
That's what saves you.
That's good. I like
that. Amen. You got to be clear about that.
Amen.
Be very clear about that. There's a lot of false doctrine out there about that. But anyway, back to the fire here. Those fire, the Word of God, right? Tried in the fire. How about Revelation 3, verse 14? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Man, I'll tell you what, I love reading about Jesus. I love reading about his names. I love reading about his titles, about his work and what he does. Look what he says there. Saith the Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look what he says here. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He says, you come to me. Right? Christ says, come to me. Buy gold of me tried in the fire. Your Christian life is more precious than what? Gold. So Peter said that trial of your faith is much more precious. We're going to get to those verses here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, a lot of times when you're going through that fire and God's burning that dross off, he's chastening us. He's rebuking us. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That means you get a whooping. That's what that means. That's an easy translation for you. If you've been saved long enough, you've gotten a whooping or two.
Amen.
And you're going to keep getting them. We all are. But it's love. Because he said, every son that I receive, every child that I receive, I rebuke and chasten. Right? He says that in Hebrews.
Amen.
Every son. Otherwise, you'd be a bastard and not a son. Then are you bastards and not sons? I'm so glad I'm not a bastard. I'm so glad I got a father in heaven that says, you know what, son, you're not doing right. I'm going to sit you down for a little while. I'm going to put you through some correction, and I'm going to make you better. Because I'm not going to let you continue on like this.
Amen.
I'm going to fix you. Because you're mine, and I'm the only one that can do it. That's the one thing about pastors that a lot of people don't understand. And, you know, especially God's pastors, all children get rebuked, but with pastors, it's one thing. Believe me, you're safe to let God deal with them and to pray for them. God will deal with your pastor. You say, well, my pastor does A, B, and C, and I don't like that. Well, why don't you pray for him then? Because God will deal with him way better than you will. In fact, God's going to get upset if you try to. And he'll deal with you.
Amen.
He'll deal with you. But if you'll pray for him, God will deal with him. If you believe he's a God-called man, saved by the grace of God, God will deal with him.
Right.
He'll correct him. He'll fix him. You let God do it. God didn't like it when Israel tried to do it.
Yeah.
Israel did to Moses. God didn't like that. God dealt with them. Amen? You got to be careful about that. I've known a lot of people that want to, you know, a lot of people want to find fault with pastors and people. Well, God's got his hand on them. God's got his hand on those preachers. He'll deal with them. If they're saved, born again men of God, he'll deal with them. They don't get away with anything. Believe me. Amen? They don't get away with anything. We get it. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Talking about the fiery trial. You ever been down one of those? Are you going through any trials in your life right now? You going through some? You got health? You got health problems? You got maybe you're depressed or discouraged. Hey, I've been through that. I know what that's like. I know what depression's like. Amen. I know what that's like. It's scary. A bunch of fear comes over you. You get depressed and discouraged and down because life comes at you. And you're going down through that fiery trial. Well, Peter has some information for us here through the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Isn't it amazing how many times we're reminded over and over again? Now, don't think it's strange. Now, I want to put you in remembrance of this, and we think it's strange, and we don't remember it. Because when you're right in the fire, you don't remember it. That's why Peter and Paul over and over again said, remember. Put them into remembrance. Amen. He told Timothy, put them into remembrance. There are no lessons in this book that do not need to be given over and over and over again. They need to be given over and over and over again to us. The simplest ones need to be given over and over again. Why? Because we forget. We are so forgetful. Why is it that we remember every bad thing, but we never remember the good things that God does for us? There are 1,000 good things to 1 bad thing. And we never remember the good things. We always remember the bad things. I'll give you a perfect example. What's the first thing, when I say Rahab, what's the first thing you think of? There you go. You think of harlot right away. That's the first thing you think of Rahab, harlot, right away. Right? Right. But look at the lineage and the line that she was in. Look what she did. God redeemed her. But you and I, that's the first thing that we think of. That's the way our human nature is. That's why God says, put them in remembrance. Remember the simplest things over and over again. Because when we lose that simplicity in Christ, we're in trouble. That fiery trial is going to get a lot hotter. Guess what? The fire sometimes, it causes a complex understanding, everything to be complex and not simple in our understanding. Because it's heat, the heat's on us. We get discouraged, we get fearful, we get anxiety. When the trial comes, somebody's sick or somebody's dying or we lose our job or there's a challenge that comes into our life or a relationship problem, a wayward child, whatever it is, our wayward marriage, a marriage that's gone awry or there's a problem there, and we lose sight of the simplicity in Christ Jesus, and God says, I'll take care of you. I'm still on the throne. I'm still ahead of all of it.
Amen.
And I still see it. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice! Oh, that's so hard. Now, I want to teach you something here about that a little bit. Because here's what people think. Well, when it says to rejoice, it means that I'm just going to run around and be happy and laughing and giggling and goofy when I lost everything, my husband or whatever the case may be, or my finances. No. That's not what it means to rejoice. That's called being happy. Now, that might come with rejoicing a lot of times, but rejoicing is Holy Ghost driven.
Amen.
That's from the fruit of the Spirit. That's the joy that we receive. That means deep down inside, though all hell is literally breaking loose around me, I can still rejoice and say, well, amen, I'm glad I'm saved. Man, I may not have nothing else to hold on to, but I got this book and I got God. And I'm saved, and I know God's going to see me through. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. And you don't have to understand it. You just got to follow Christ. Here's where this, we're in the fire when God's burning the dross off. Here's where it starts to get hard. When you don't understand what's happening. You don't have to understand it. You just keep following Christ. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's such a huge word, that word finisher. It means a ton of different things, right? He completes our faith. He finishes it. Remember that word? That, you know what a finisher does? They finish everything and make it perfect.
Yep.
That's what they... I mean, you hire a man to finish your walls and different work. You're paying for expertise to be done. Well, Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. And he's the finisher of our faith, the completer, the perfecter of our faith. He makes it perfect. That means that that good work that he begun in us, he's going to continue to do it. He's not going to stop through the trial. No, the trial is part of the perfection.
Amen.
It is. God's teaching you. He's teaching you. But rejoice. So you can rejoice, right? Job came to a point in his trial, which I believe all of us have to. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, when things get that dark, that hard, that difficult, you purpose in your heart like Daniel did, that he would not defile himself. And you say, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. That's what the boys in the fire did, didn't they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What'd they say? Oh, we are not careful to answer thee, O king. You know, God, he's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, and we fry, we ain't bowing. We'll just fry in the fire, and we'll go home. But we're going either way, king. We can't bow down. That's the same spirit. Do you see that? But remember that while they're in the fire, who's there with them? The fourth? Yeah, who is that? Jesus.
Amen.
Not a son of the gods.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Not a son of the gods.
Amen.
No. Thee. Right?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's what you have when you have a perfect Bible. And it fits everything. It fits in the book because God is with you through the fire. And he's there himself, Jesus, personally there with you through your trial. Do you understand that? He is available to you. He is there for you in your trial. Right now where you're at. I don't know where this is going all over the world. Wherever you're at, you may be facing persecution. Jesus is there with you. He's there with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not absent from the trial. He's there with you. How about when the winds blew, when the storms come, when you're about ready to drown? Jesus is there.
Yeah.
He's there. He controls the storm. And when he speaks, peace be still, it will be still. Remember that. Remember those Hebrew boys were in the fire? How about Moses with the burning bush? God was there, right in the fire. How about Elijah in the fiery chariot? You know, this man was supposed to be killed by Jezebel. Right? Jezebel said she's going to take him out. It didn't happen, did it? God said, no. In fact, Jezebel, it's not going to happen. And everyone is going to know that I directly sent a fiery chariot for him to deliver him to me. Out of your hand. God was there.
Amen. Thank
you. God was there for him. He was there for him. How about this? 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's go there. Got you all over your Bible. Keep you awake tonight.
Amen. Yeah.
2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 14. I like this right here. How about Elisha? Elisha had to have a fiery experience too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Verse number 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What in the world are we going to do? We are surrounded by the enemy. They've got armies. They've got chariots. I'm telling you, that's a good spot to be in. It don't feel like it, does it, Pastor, when you're there? But I'm telling you, it's the safest place you can be is surrounded by the enemy. Especially when God's with you right there. It is surrounded right by, I'm telling you what, God put our church right smack dab in the most liberal, God-hating city in Minnesota. Right there, Northfield, Minnesota. Two colleges there that absolutely are progressive and hate the Bible. They got a witch's cove right up there. They walk around and do their ceremonies and all kinds of naked and everything else up there. Wicked as hell. And God put us there and made that church stand. Because God is able to make you stand through the fire. Through the fire. And he did. It's still there. And I'm telling you what, I had everybody in there, brother, man, you ain't going to make it there. Because every church they tried to put there, a fundamental church, gone. They were gone. Is it because of you? No, it's not because of me. Because, man, you put it on paper, it don't make sense. None of it does. But you ask any Bible-believing preacher whether it makes sense when you put something on paper, and it never does. When you start radio stations, you do all that stuff, none of it makes sense. Right. You do any of that work for God? When, how are you going to do this? I don't know. God's going to do it. I have no idea.
Amen.
They told me you need it all. They told me when we started there, well, you got to have this money, and you'll never be able to go full time, and you'll never be able to, I mean, you'll have to do this, you'll have to do this. Man, we surrendered to that. I was there for 5 years, and I surrendered. We walked away from the sending church, and I just surrendered. I said, Lord, I'm going to go full time. I believe you want me to. And you know what? As you can tell, I'm not starving, and neither is my family. And God's taking care of all of us. And it's amazing because there's other people that did it a different way and half of them are gone. But God can make you stand through all of that. If you'll trust Him, He'll make you stand. He'll keep you. He's able to make you stand through the fire. Look at this. They're surrounded. And He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. God uses that fire. All of them were surrounded. But God said, look, just show, Elijah, Lord, just show him, please. Show him your hand. Show him your magnificence and your might. You know, you ought to pray that. You might be struggling with sin tonight. There might be some sin you're struggling with. I'm here to tell you that God is able to burn that out of you.
That's good.
You might be struggling with something you're fighting with. You know, we all fight with something. There ain't a man alive that doesn't have a fight, or a woman alive. The same thing that plagued our first father after the flesh, Adam, plagues our flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Right? Jesus is the only one that defeated those and walked through this world perfect. He's the only one. You and I have not defeated all of that. We can if we walk in the Spirit. God will give you victory. That's why you have to repent. You got to let God do His work. If you fight God, if you fight that refining fire, if you fight it, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot worse. If God shows you something that's sinful in your life, you need to let it go. Don't hold on to it. If there's something right now in your life that you're doing that displeases God, and I don't know what it is because I don't know any of you, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying if there's something in your life that you know right now, God is not pleased with me doing this. God is upset with me right now. God has showed me from the Word of God that what I'm doing is wrong. You need to repent. Let it go. It's not worth it. Shall we be friends to anything that put Christ on the cross? There is nothing that we should hold hands with that put Christ on the cross. We ought to repent of it. It would be like shaking hands with the person that killed your brother. When we hold on to sin, you are literally shaking the hands in confidence and peace with someone that killed your brother, killed your Lord, killed your Savior, that put Him on the cross. Might be some rebellion. You might be holding on to some rebellion tonight. I don't know. I don't know anything about you, but are you? Don't answer me. That's one of those questions where you don't say yes. You take that to the Lord. I don't want to know. I'm not your priest. Amen? And Pastor Mike's not your priest. Amen. He doesn't want to be either. No. We got enough to deal with ourselves. We don't need a confession. Amen? Once you confess that to the Lord. But you get it right with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, you know what the best part is about being wrong? You can get right. As a saved child of God, the best part about being wrong is that I can get right. When I've always heard messages that have chapped me hard, I'm like, man, that was rough. Woo! And I felt guilty, right? Yeah. The best part about that is that, you know what? I can get right. Isn't that a blessing? I'm saved by the grace of God, and Jesus has made a way for me to get right. He already made the way.
Amen.
His blood. Now all I must do is what He said to do. What did He say to do? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. You don't have to try to atone for your sin. That's another trap you can get in. You're going to feel bad sometimes, and you're not going to want to let that go and give that over to Christ. And you're going to beat yourself up for it. When you're in the fire like that and God's burning off the dross, don't you dare hold on to that and say, you know what, I feel so bad about this. I can't forgive myself. Well, good thing you don't have to forgive yourself. Did you know that? There's nowhere in that King James Bible that says forgive yourself. No. It says confess.
Yeah.
You can't forgive yourself. You can't. That, by the way, did you know that's a form of pride? When you and I want to forgive ourselves, it's a form of pride. What we're saying basically is that, you know what? I can forgive myself. No, you can't. What good would it do if you could? Faith takes hold of the promises of God. Faith says, God, forgive me on the merits of Jesus Christ. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. And God's done with it. God's done with it. Not because of it, not even because you confessed it. It's for Christ's sake He forgives you. Your forgiveness is for Christ's sake. That's the strength of your forgiveness that you get from God. It's because of Christ. It's all, one thing you'll learn, the longer you're saved, it's all about Jesus. It's all about everything He did and nothing I could have done. Amen? So when you're in that fire, remember that. God uses that fire. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul is dealing with the Galatians, right? He's grieved by the Hebrew roots people that have come in, crept in, unawares, right? Dressed like a bunch of Pharisees. Came in telling people they got to keep the law, they got to be circumcised, they got to follow the Sabbath, of which none of them ever do. And none of them ever follow the Sabbath. They don't know what they don't follow the Sabbath. They don't keep the Sabbath. Amen? They don't. They never have. They never will. The Jews couldn't keep it either. That's why Christ came. Another covenant, right? A better covenant. Christ. The theme of Hebrews, Christ, better than all. That's the theme of Hebrews. If you want the theme of the book of Hebrews, if you want to ever shut a Hebrew toots, I call them Hebrew toots, but they toot their own horn. That's why I call them that. But anyway, I know, it sounds bad, but that's why I call them that, because they're always tooting their own horns. They always are. So I call them the Hebrew. All right, you can. The Hebrew toots movement. They're always tooting their horns. Always tooting the horn. Always. Right? Right? Always. Every time you're on, that's the first thing they come up with. They're like the flat earthers. It's the first thing they come up with. Yeah. You're talking about anything. What happens? Flat earth. You're talking about the deity of Christ. They bring in the flat earth somehow. Yeah. It's called insanity. You should look at, they need some help with that. Anyway. But Christ is formed in us. That's not painless. Paul was dealing with them. He said, look, My little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's not painless work. Christ burns out the sin and waste in our lives so he can bless us. You just remember that that's all the work of your Heavenly Father. That's God's work. But don't fight it. When you see the health problem that comes, your Father in heaven stands above it all. The financial problem, your Father stands above it all. Marital problems, relationship problems, problems with children, right? Teaching our children, you're like, am I getting through? Am I really getting through? Right? Pastoral problems, am I really getting through? Am I getting through? Is it making sense? Do they understand it? Are they getting it? But God's there. God knows. God knows. Maybe it's depression, discouragement. You know, I used to think that there's no way, man, what's this whole thing? When people said they got depressed, I'm like, man, what's wrong with those people? Why don't you just be happy? What's the matter with you? That's the worst thing you can tell somebody is depressed. Why don't you just get happy? Don't worry, be happy. No, don't do that. Don't tell them that. That won't help them at all. I learned that the hard way. That won't tell them. Well, God gave me some depression, and he gave it to me to humble me. He gave it to me and some anxiety. God gave it to me. Why? To teach me to be kind. Because this war can harden you. This war, you ask your pastor, this it's rough out there. It can harden you when you're standing for the Lord. If you're not careful. So what does God do? He gives you thorns in your flesh so you don't get proud. So have you ever gotten proud? You bet. Oh my. Every man alive struggles with pride. There isn't a man alive or woman or child that does not struggle with pride. If they tell you, well, I'm a humble person, that's a proud statement. I don't have any problem with pride. I'm a pretty humble guy. That's a pretty proud statement. Amen?
Amen.
We do. We struggle with it. But don't tell people. Maybe they're going through depression or discouragement. You tell them, look, Christ, when he was in the garden, he had anxiety and sweat drops of blood. Now that's some anxiety. You know, Christ was fully man and fully God. He had to be to save us. He made himself a man. He knew no sin. Never sinned once. But that 3 hours when he was on the cross, he had all of the world's sin on him. And I want you to think about this for a second. I've preached a message on this, but Christ had all the hounds of hell after him, all the hordes of hell after him, and he had every sin bombard his mind. And yet he sinned not. Never gave in to one of those impure thoughts that Satan threw at him. Amen. And that's why he's perfect sacrifice for our sins. But you and I are not perfect, and you and I fail, and you and I need the strength of God. We need to remember through any depression or darkness or discouragement that we come across, any anxiety or fear, that God is still there, that he's burning off the dross. And when you start thinking about it, you think, well, you know what? I got a lot of impurities in me. And the longer you're saved, don't get afraid, because the longer you're saved, the more God's going to show you really have. You've done something for years and years and years as a saved person. All of a sudden, one day, God shows you, you know, you ought not do that. That's probably not a good idea. That's bad. And it doesn't have to be anything terrible. In fact, if a young Christian does it, it's no big deal. But somebody that's mature, that God is working on and maturing, and they do it, God smites your heart and says, you don't do that anymore. You need to stop that. It's time to grow up, son. It's time to put away childish things. You got to grow up. But also to help you when you're going through the fire, to help you to take other people through that and be an encouragement and hold their hand. Don't look down on them. Don't look down on them. When you see somebody depressed or discouraged or the trial is weighing down on them, don't look down on them. Don't think you're better than them, because God will put you through it. God will put us through it. You know, I there were times where in the battle that my boldness and my zeal and everything, it took me over sometimes, and I made some mistakes, and I was too hard on people. And I'm saying that as a pastor. I admit to people when I've done wrong. And I was too hard, a little too hard. And God put me through some trials to humble me so He could use me, so I could help those. Amen. That go through the fire. And you know what? I've had people contact me and they've been in tears and they just want to give up. And I say, oh, don't you give up.
Amen.
Don't you give up. You keep fighting. God will be there for you. He is there for you. You trust Him. God hasn't left you. You keep trusting God. You hold on. You hold on to Christ. He's got His hold on you. Don't worry. But you hold on. You grip Him. You grab on. And you hang on for the ride. Because He'll bring you through the fire. And when you come out the other side, all that'll be left is gold. Try it in the fire. I hope it's an encouragement to you. I hope it is. I want to be. I want it to be. I want to point you to Christ, and I want you to trust Him. Trust Him through the fire. He's burning off the dross. Remember that. That's all He's doing. You keep obeying Him, and you're going to find out, in the end, victory and peace. And what does it do? The Bible says that chastening, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what it does. There'll be things that you'll never do again because God showed you, no, don't do that anymore. I've learned that. You'll be kinder to people and gentle to people because you'll be like, God took me through that. I know what that's like. I'm able to recognize that in that person's life. I'm able to see that, and I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to encourage them and say, hold their hand up and say, listen, brother, you can get through this. Let me pray for you. I'm praying for you. I see it in you. God will get you through it. Amen.